She hit the fast-forward button again. There was nothing of any use here at all. It was all nightmarish madness. She could have faked something that would have looked more convincing. Another sick feeling began to creep over her as she watched this hopeless, awful tape, and she began, with slow horror, to realise that it must be the answer. She must be... She shook her head and tried to get a grip. An overnight flight going east. The sleeping pills she had taken to get her through it. The vodka she'd had to set the sleeping pills going. What else? Well, there was 17 years of obsession that a glamorous man with two heads, one of which was disguised as a parrot in a cage, had tried to pick her up at a party but had then impatiently flown off to another planet in a flying saucer. There suddenly seemed to be all sorts of bothersome aspects to that idea that had never really occurred to her. Never occurred to her. In 17 years. She stuffed her fist into her mouth. She must get help. Then there had been Eric Bartlett banging on about alien spacecraft landing on her lawn. And before that, New York had been, well, very hot and stressful. The high hopes and the bitter disappointment, the astrology stuff. She must have had a nervous breakdown. That was it. She was exhausted, and she had had a nervous breakdown and had started hallucinating some time after she got home. She had dreamt the whole story. An alien race of people dispossessed of their own lives and histories, stuck on a remote outpost of our solar system and filling their cultural vacuum with our cultural junk. Ha! It was nature's way of telling her to check into an expensive medical establishment very quickly. She was very, very sick. She looked at how many large coffees she'd got through as well, and realised how heavily she was breathing and how fast. Part of solving any problem, she told herself, was realising that you had it. She started to bring her breathing under control. She had caught herself in time. She had seen where she was. She was on the way back from whatever psychological precipice she had been on the brink of. She started to calm down. To calm down. To calm down. She sat back in the chair and closed her eyes. After a while, now that she was breathing normally again, she opened them again. So where had she got this tape from then? It was still running. All right. It was a fake. She had faked it herself. That was it. It must have been her who had faked it because her voice was all over the soundtrack asking questions. Every now and then the camera would swing down at the end of a shot and she would see her own feet in her own shoes. She had faked it and she had no recollection of faking it or any idea of why she had done it. Her breathing was getting hectic again as she watched the snowy, flickering screen. She must still be hallucinating. She shook her head, trying to make it go away. She had no memory of faking any of this very obviously fake stuff. On the other hand, she did seem to have memories that were very like the faked stuff. She continued to watch in a bewildered trance. The person she imagined to be called the leader was questioning her about astrology, and she was answering smoothly and calmly. Only she could detect the well-disguised rising panic in her own voice. The leader pushed a button, and a maroon velvet wall slid aside, revealing a large bank of flat TV monitors. Each of the monitors was showing a kaleidoscope of different images. A few seconds from a game show, a few seconds from a cop show, a few seconds from a supermarket warehouse security system, a few seconds from somebody's holiday movies, a few seconds of sex, a few seconds of news, a few seconds of comedy. It was clear that the leader was very proud of all this stuff, and he was waving his hands like a conductor while continuing at the same time to talk complete gibberish. Another wave of his hands and all the screens cleared to form one giant computer screen showing in diagrammatic form all the planets of the solar system and mapped out against a background of the stars in their constellations. The display was completely static. "We have great skills," the leader was saying. "Great skills in computation, in cosmological trigonometry, in three-dimensional navigational calculus. Great skills. Great, great skills.
Only we have lost them. It is too bad. We like to have skills, only they have gone. They are in space somewhere, hurtling, with our names and the details of our homes and loved ones. Please, he said, gesturing her forward to sit at the computer's console. Be skillful for us.
Obviously, what happened next was that Tricia quickly set the video camera up on its tripod to capture the whole scene. She then walked into shot herself and sat down calmly in front of the giant computer display, spent a few moments familiarising herself with the interface, and then started smoothly and competently to pretend that she had the faintest idea what she was doing. It hadn't been that difficult, in fact. She was, after all, a mathematician and astrophysicist by training and a television presenter by experience, and what science she had forgotten over the years, she was more than capable of making up by bluffing. The computer she was working on was clear evidence that the Grebulons came from a far more advanced and sophisticated culture than their current vacuous state suggested, and with its aid she was able, within about half an hour, to cobble together a rough working model of the solar system. It wasn't particularly accurate or anything, but it looked good. The planets were whizzing around in reasonably good simulations of their orbits, and you could watch the movement of the whole piece of virtual cosmological clockwork from any point within the system, very roughly. You could watch from Earth, you could watch from Mars, etc. You could watch from the surface of the planet Rupert. Tricia had been quite impressed with herself, but also very impressed with the computer system she was working on. Using a computer workstation on Earth, the task would probably have taken a year or so of programming. When she was finished, the leader came up behind her and watched. He was very pleased and delighted with what she had achieved.
Good, he said. And now, please, I would like you to demonstrate how to use the system you have just designed to translate the information in this book for me.
Quietly, he put a book down in front of her. It was You and Your Planets by Gail Andrews.